Yeah, I said, because it was easier to agree than to argue with her about things she didn't understand. We should get together sometime, she said. If you're free. I think I can. We have that thing, Ox? Robbie said. What thing? I asked, trying to find my last bit of patience. That thing, he insisted, that will take up a lot of your time? I don't know what you're. You won't be free for a while. Is he a Bennett? Jesse asked, sounding amused. Because he sounds like a Bennett. He's a Fontaine, I said with a frown. I didn't understand what she meant. Sure, she said. Anyway, call if you get a chance. The phone number's the same. I nodded, and she turned toward the office, where Chris was just getting off the phone. I turned on Robbie. What was that? Nothing, Robbie said. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Robbie, Ox, let's finish this oil change. We were fixing the alternator. Huh. He looked down at the car. That makes more sense than what I thought we were doing. She's a friend, he scowled. You didn't hear her heartbeat or smell her. Oh God, I hate werewolves, I muttered. She stunk like arousal. You shouldn't go around smelling people. I can't help it. Tell her to not go around smelling like she wanted to hop on your dick. Who wants to hop on dicks? Rico asked as he and Tanner walked over. No one, I said quickly. That girl, Robbie said. Jessie. I sighed. That's Ox's ex-girlfriend, Tanner said. From high school, Rico added helpfully. Because those are the relationships that last forever. Robbie looked slightly horrified. You dated her? I put my face in my hands. But you're mated to the Alpha. That stopped me cold. I dropped my hands. I glared at Robbie and said, I'm not mated to anyone. If I was, you can sure as shit bet he'd be here and. The other stared as I cut myself off. This wasn't the time for that. Not now. Maybe not ever. Ox, Rico said gently, like he was approaching a cornered animal. You know he'd. So I said, don't. And he didn't. I muttered something about going to lunch and left them standing there. They came 4 days later. During those 4 days, I got more pissed off. I had problems, and I couldn't think of a single way to be rid of them. Because werewolves were my problem. Packs were my problem. Maybe I just wanted a normal life, away from everything that shouldn't exist. Maybe I wanted to leave all of this behind and find a place where wolves didn't know my name. Thomas had told me once that the longer a human was in a pack, the stronger the scent of pack would be, until it was part of them, ingrained into everything that they were. Any wolf would know I belonged to others, no matter how much I scrubbed my skin, and it grated at me. I stayed away from the others as much as I could. I worked later, not leaving the shop until well past midnight. The guys at the shop tried to push me, but I snapped at them to leave me alone. Mark and Elizabeth didn't push. I didn't want them to, but I was confused as to why I thought they should. I should have known Elizabeth would wait until she thought I was ready. Sometimes I thought she knew me better than I knew myself. I rubbed my hand over my face as I walked down the dirt road toward the house at the end of the lane. It was probably foolish of me to be out in the dead of night alone, but I had faith in Gordo's wards, even if I was losing faith in the man himself. I was tired of a lot of things. I sensed Elizabeth before I actually saw or heard her. I didn't think this happened to most humans in wolf packs, but I didn't know any others to ask. And the thought of asking questions these days was exhausting, especially on top of everything else. I said, I know you're there, and expected her to walk out from the trees as a wolf. Instead, she said, Of course you do. I wouldn't have thought anything less. She melted out of the shadows, moving with an inhuman grace, She wore a loose pair of sweats and an old sweatshirt of Thomas's, the sleeves falling over her hands. Her eyes flared briefly in the dark, that Halloween orange that reminded me so of her son. There was an ache in my chest at the very thought of him. And she knew, because that's just something she could do. She said, "Ah, I wondered if that was it." "I wish you wouldn't do that," I grumbled. She laughed quietly. "I can't not. It's who I am."
"Lurking in the forest in the middle of the night is who you are?"
"I don't lurk," she sounded moderately offended.
"You kind of do," I said. "It's part of your whole thing."
"I like you," she said seriously. "Very much."
I couldn't stop the smile on my face even if I tried.
"I know. I like you too."
I started walking toward the house at the end of the lane. She fell into step beside me.
"You've been avoiding us," she said.
"I've been busy," I said.
"Ah," she said. "At the shop?"
"Yeah."
"Must have been big."
"What?"
"The influx of people to Green Creek who all needed their cars worked on at the same time."
I glared at her. She smiled serenely back at me.
"Dozens of them," I said. "You're upset."
I stopped walking and fisted my hands at my sides.
"It's okay to be upset," she said.
"I'm not upset," I growled at her.
"Of course not," she said. "You're only avoiding your pack, and when you do see us, it's like you despise us." "Not upset at all."
"I don't despise anyone," I said.
"That certainly can't be true. There are many people out there to despise."
"Elizabeth,
we don't blame you."
I blinked. "For what?"
"Blaming us."
I took a step back.
"I don't." "It's okay if you did. Or do. I don't know that I wouldn't if I was in your position. It's certainly a proper place to rest your grievances."
I hung my head.
"After all," she continued, "if you'd never heard of wolves, none of this would have happened. If we hadn't come to Green Creek, you never would have met us, and your mother would be sleeping in her bed. Or rather, I hope she would have been, because you can never really know what might happen. Life can be funny that way."
"Why are you telling me this?" I asked.
"Because someone has to," she said. "And since Joe's not here, I need to be the one to do it."
My anger flared, a bright and burning thing. She felt it, if her eyes widening slightly meant anything. She said,
"He didn't want to leave you, Ox."
I laughed bitterly. "Really? Because he sure as hell left pretty damn quick for someone who didn't want to leave."
"He didn't."
"Don't tell me he didn't have a choice," I snapped at her. "Because he did. He could have chosen us. He could have chosen—" I didn't want to finish that thought, because it would have made it all the more real. But Elizabeth knew.
"He did choose you, Ox," she said, ignoring the anger in my voice. "Or have you forgotten that? He gave his wolf to no one else, only you. It's only ever been you."
"A lot of good that does us now. He's only God knows where with Carter and Kelly, with Gordo. Fuck, we don't even know if he's alive, if any of them are."
"They are."
I stared at her. "You know this?"
"Yes."
"Because?"
"Because I am a mother, and I am a wolf. I would know if they were gone, sure as I knew when it happened to Thomas."
My throat felt dry. "I can't feel them. Not like before." She reached out and grazed her fingers along my arm. I didn't know if I wanted her touching me or not, but she drew her hand away before I could step back.
"I don't expect you could," she said. "You're not a wolf. Even if you are more than you used to be, it's not the same."
"Have you talked to him?" My heart thudded in my chest.
No, she said sadly. I haven't. Any of them. If I had, you would know. Ox, I understand why he did what he did, even if I don't agree with it. It's a terrible thing to lose a parent, as you very well know. And I don't mean to minimize anything of yours, but Joe lost his father and his Alpha, and then had to assume the role he'd be preparing for much earlier than he thought he'd have to.
It's not about what's right, I told her. It's about revenge. Did you even try and stop him?
She looked as if I'd slapped her, and that was the only answer I needed. Look, it's... What would you have done? She asked. If you'd had the chance to make things right, and ignored it, only to find out your inaction caused others to suffer.
She didn't sound like she was judging me. Merely curious. I would have put the pack first, I told her honestly. Even though I was angry, and even though I wanted nothing more than to see Richard Collins dead, I would have kept the pack together, to keep them safe, to keep them whole. And once we were all back on even ground, we would have made a decision. Together. That's what Thomas taught me. He said that above all else, pack comes first.
She smiled a wobbly little smile. He loved you, she said. Thomas did. Very much. As do the rest of us. Joe above all others. I don't know if you understand this, Oxnard, but we need you. More than you could possibly know.
My eyes burned, and I wanted nothing more than for her words to be true. But what about what I need? I asked her.
You need us just as much as we need you.
I need him.
I know.
They need to come back.
I know.
Will they?
She touched my arm briefly. When they can.
It wasn't good enough, but I knew it was all she could give.
She said, Let's go.
My phone rang. It was shockingly loud in the quiet forest. Sorry, I muttered. And for a brief moment, my heart tripped all over itself, because I knew this was it. This was going to be Joe, and he'd say he was sorry, that he never meant to be gone this long, that he was coming home, that he'd never leave my side again, and everything would be fine. I fumbled with the phone. The screen was bright in the dark, blurring my eyes, and I couldn't see. I couldn't. Hello? I croaked out. Joe, it's...
Ox, a tearful voice said. Ox, they hurt me. Ox.
Not Joe. Jesse? I asked, confused and angry and hurt all at once. Because it wasn't Joe. It wasn't Joe. It wasn't Joe.
Ox, she said.
She was crying.
Their eyes. They're glowing.
Where are you? I bit out, hand tightening on the phone. And then she screamed. Jesse! The scream fell away. Another voice came through the phone. It said, Hello, Ox. It sounded like it spoke through a mouthful of very sharp teeth. Who is this? I snarled into the phone. I found a friend of yours. She smelled like you. A little bit. Maybe like a memory from long ago. Trying to travel back inside your little wards. I swear to God, I'll fucking kill you if you touch a hair on her head. Oh, no, the voice growled. I suppose you'll have to kill me then, because of her blood. It tastes so good. What do you want? Better. Thank you. It's simple, really. I want you, Ox. The remains of your pack. He will be so pleased with me. He will love me. For taking away everything he could not. You don't know who you're...
Ox, the wolf snarled, because it couldn't have been anything but a wolf. I'd been around them long enough to recognize the sounds they made, the anger they could have.
I don't think you're listening.
Jessie screamed again,
her voice cracking in the middle, bright and shivery with pain. "Don't," I pleaded into the phone, because this was my fault. He was doing this to her because of me. "Don't hurt her. Not anymore. What do you want?" "Come to me," the wolf said. "Outside these sticky things, these burns, these goddamn wards. Step outside them, and we'll see what we'll see."
"Where?" I said through gritted teeth.
"The bridge. I'm told there is only one. You have 20 minutes, Oxnard. I'm afraid I really must insist on that. 20 minutes, or her blood will be on your hands."
The wolf clicked off. My hands were shaking as they fell to my sides.
"You heard?" I asked. "Everything," she said, eyes flaring orange in the dark.
"They don't know, do they?"
"No. They think we're fractured."
"Good," I snarled, "because they've fucked up." She half-shifted, claws popping and fangs descending. Her hair rippled along her cheeks and brow. And for the first time since she howled a song of mourning at the death of her alpha, Elizabeth Bennet tilted her head back and sang. Only this time, it was a song of war. We were fractured. Part of us were gone. Our pack wasn't whole. That much was true. But we made up for it. We filled those spaces with temporary things to hold us together while we still could.
"What's the point of all this?" Rico had asked, sweat dripping down his face.
I'd remembered what Thomas had told me about pack and protecting one's territory.
"It's just in case," I'd told Rico.
Tanner and Chris were within earshot, panting out little sharp bursts of air. Mark was half-shifted. Elizabeth was full wolf. Their eyes flashed at me.
"In case of what?"
"Anything. Go again." And they did. Again. And again. And again. It was an oddity where the wolf had wanted to meet us. An old covered wooden bridge outside of Green Creek. It was supposed to be quaint, even though the paint was peeling and the wood was cracked. People from the city came up in the fall to take pictures of it, while the leaves changed around them. It stretched over a creek bed that trickled with cold water from higher up the mountains. It meant, though, that it was out of the way, so nobody from town would get hurt. We didn't bother with a car. Mark met us in the trees, already shifted, eyes bright in the dark, tail twitching. Elizabeth disrobed while Tanner called, having heard her song.
"Is this real?" he asked.
"Yes," I said through gritted teeth. "They have Jesse."
"Fuck. Chris, he'll..."
"Get them. Meet at the shop, I'll tell him."
"Ox, move," I snapped. "Now."
He grunted and disconnected. I turned back to the others. Robbie was there now too, a gray wolf with black striping along his face. He was smaller than Mark and Elizabeth, and leaner, but his teeth were sharp, and his paws were big. That thin thread that somehow stretched between us and him pulsed gently, and I could feel the pack, 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 riding along each little wave. We hadn't quite acknowledged it, none of us had, because betrayal ran deep. He wasn't Osmond, but he was still part of where Osmond had come from. But Robbie had been here. He'd trained with us. He'd eaten with us at our table. I didn't think it'd be too much longer before whatever obstacle between us fell away. I wondered if Joe could feel them. I wondered if he even cared. They followed me through the trees, running in the dark by my side. I didn't need to look where I was headed. I knew this place. These woods. This forest. I knew every inch of it. Thomas had taught me that. He'd shown me that a territory was a home, and this was my home. I knew where to jump, where to duck. I didn't think of how or why. It just was. We were careful when we got to Green Creek, keeping in the shadows. It was late, very late, and the streets were empty, but there were already rumors of wolves in the woods, and we didn't need anyone in town to think they'd walked along the streets. The shop was dark, but I could feel them toward the back. Their voices cut off as we rounded the corner. They looked at me as the wolves went and rubbed up against them. Tanner tossed me my crowbar, careful not to let it touch Robbie, who had pressed his side against Tanner's leg. I caught it, as Chris said. We heard it. The howl. It was like...
In your head?
They all nodded, looking relieved.
You get used to it, I said. Mostly.
What happened? Rico asked.
Chris, I said. I need you to listen to me.
He frowned. What? What happened?
Omegas, I said.
Outside the wards. They can't get in, right? Rico asked. Why are we...
They have Jesse, I said, not taking my eyes off of Chris.
He paled.
What?
He whispered.
They made her call me.
He took a step forward, stiff and radiating anger.
She's alive? He demanded.
Yes. And I thought she still would be. They needed leverage. We had 9 minutes, maybe 10.
I heard her voice.
What did she say?
She'd screamed, but I didn't need him to know that. That they had her, and that their eyes were glowing.
Fuck, Rico muttered.
They took her, Chris said to me.
Yes. And we're going to get her back.
Yes.
Ox, he said, and I put my hands on his shoulders, pressing my forehead to his.
She's all I have. She's not...
She's my sister, Ox. They can't do this to her.
We'll get her, I promised him. We'll bring her back, and they will regret the day they took her from us.
He exhaled heavily, and his shoulders trembled underneath my hands. But I could feel the moment he pushed it aside, the way he tensed and hardened, the way his eyes grew dark, the way he bared his teeth.
They think, I said, raising my voice so the others could hear, that we're nothing, that they can come here and take what they want, that we're broken.
The wolves growled and gnashed their teeth.
We're going to show them just how wrong they are.
And maybe, just maybe, for the briefest of moments, I could understand Joe and the choices he'd made. I felt Gordo's wards before anything else. They stopped 10 yards before the covered bridge. We weren't trapped. We could leave Green Creek any time we wanted to. This wasn't about keeping us in. It was about keeping all others out that intended to do the pack harm. And if anything was strong enough to push through, supposedly we'd know. Gordo had said he didn't think anyone could get by them, not even his father. But they were mixed into the pack bonds, a sort of alarm system. They hummed just under my skin the closer we got. I felt like I was warm and vibrating, and it whispered little songs in its own way. Gordo's magic was tied to us. Maybe more to Joe, but they were gone, and the wards remained. I spared a thought for him, then pushed it away. I didn't have time for memories. Not now. He had stretched them far around Green Creek, deep into the woods. They didn't cover the entirety of the territory belonging to the Bennetts, but enough that we were safe. There were wolves standing in front of the bridge outside the wards. I approached first, the others out of sight. I knew the wards were messing with the Omega's senses, so it didn't seem likely that they'd know how many others were with me. Maybe they were even stupid enough to think I'd come alone. Violet eyes watched me. I counted 10 pairs tracking my every step. I didn't see Jessie. I'd forgotten briefly that I couldn't feel her like the others. I remembered that day in my room, when she and I had ended, and I'd tried to do the same. She wasn't Pack. I couldn't feel her like that. I stopped just before the wards. Somewhere off to my right, Gordo had burned a rune into one of the trees. The invisible line before me thrummed. I took a breath. It stank of ozone.
You come alone, human,
A familiar voice growled from in front of the bridge. The wolf from the phone. I said, "What is your name?" I could only make out his Omega eyes. He said, "Where are the others? The remains of what you once were. I asked you a question." The Omegas around him laughed as he stepped forward. He was still mostly hidden by the shadows, but I'd gotten used to the dark. The wolf didn't look that much older than I was. His beard was patchy, his hair pulled back and tied off with a leather strap. His fangs had dropped and were dimpling the skin of his bottom lip. I thought maybe he was smiling. "You," he said, voice filled with gravel, "asked me a question." The wolves laughed again. "Your name," I said. "Humans don't get to ask anything," he growled. "You are the scum beneath our feet. The fallen king made a mockery of the wolf pack, and look where that got him. Filled with holes, his blood spilled upon his own ground." Easy, I told myself. Easy. Because there was a very real chance I was about to launch myself at him, not giving a shit about how many there were of them. "He's goading you," Thomas whispered. "He doesn't understand what you have become." I didn't understand either. I didn't know what I was. Not anymore. I didn't think most humans felt like I did, even if they'd belonged to a pack. Thomas had said I didn't need to be a wolf, that I didn't need to be more than I already was. He hadn't been wanting that for me. He'd offered me a gift, not because he'd wanted me to change, but because he'd wanted me to be more connected to him, to the others. Even though I sometimes heard his voice, even though I sometimes walked with him and my mother, they weren't there. These were just memories, pieces of them I'd stored away that clawed their way out of me when I least expected it. I wondered if he'd known what I would become. I'd never get to ask him. But even back then, before, he'd watched me. I'd catch him, every now and then, like he was expecting something from me. I said, "I will ask you one more time." "Human," the wolf spat at me. I brought the crowbar up and rested it on my shoulder. The metal scraped against my ear. The pack bonds were electrified. Mark and Elizabeth, Tanner, Chris and Rico, and Robbie too, his quiet pulse becoming more like a beacon. He was here now, with us. I thought Joe would be proud. Maybe he'd even tell me that one day, if he ever came back, if I ever forgave him. I said, "What is your name?" "Come out here," the wolf said, "beyond the stickies." He cocked his head at me, his elongated ears flickering. "Here's what's going to happen," I said, tired of him, tired of all of this. "You're going to give me the girl. Once I see what kind of condition she's in, I'll make a decision as to whether you walk away from here or crawl." I tilted my head, my gaze staying on him. "Or how deep in the ground I bury you." The wolves didn't laugh at that. I saw two or three of them take a step back. I would spare those ones, if I could. The wolf in front of me paused. "You," he said, "are a conundrum. Why is it you are the way you are?" "Because of my father," I said, thinking of Thomas. He watched me for a moment. Then he raised his voice and said, "Bring the girl." It couldn't be that easy. From the shadows of the interior of the bridge, two figures emerged from the dark. One stuttered with every step it took. The other dragged the first harshly. Jessie. She was walking on her own, but I could hear the low hitches of her breath. She was limping, barely putting any weight down on her right foot. Her eyes were wide, and her cheeks were wet, but her mouth was set in a thin line, her jaw tensed. She was scared, yes, but she was pissed. That was good. Anger was a better motivator than fear. It also probably meant the wolves were underestimating her, just like they were underestimating me, my pack. She saw me, and her voice was raw when she said, "Ox." "It's okay," I said. "Just look at me. It'll be okay." "It really won't," the wolf said, as he took Jessie by the arm. She struggled against him, but his grip was iron tight. "Tell me, Ox, do you think that little crowbar of yours would do anything to prevent me from ripping out her throat right in front of you? Do you think you could stop me before I stop her heart?"
"Another wolf said something like that to me once," I said quietly, "before Richard Collins. This wolf held my mother almost the exact way you're holding her. I bashed his head in. He died a very painful death."
"History doesn't repeat itself."
I shrugged. "It can."
"Not for your mother," the wolf said with a nasty smile. "Tell me, Ox, you saved her a first time. Why not a second?"
"Easy," Thomas whispered. "What do you want?" I asked, barely containing my rage. His eyes flared violet.
"Simple," he said. "You, since your alpha has abandoned you all, he will need incentive to come back out of hiding. You will provide that incentive. We will be rewarded. He will put us above all others when we give you and your alpha to him."
"And if I don't?"
"The girl," he said, "she'll die. The rest of this town will die. What remains of your pack will die."
I snorted. "The wards will hold. You can't touch them, the pack, or this town."
"Ox, what the hell is this?" Jessie asked,
voice high and wavering.
"For how long?" the wolf asked. "Mistakes will be made. You can only stay in there for so long. I can stay out here forever. And any time a person leaves this place, I will be there to kill them, one by one."
"You should have told me your name," I said. "That's all I asked for." He narrowed his eyes.
"You don't know who you're..."
"I gave you the option," I said, finally letting my anger show. My voice deepened, and I felt something surging along the pack bonds. "To let this go, to walk away, or even crawl. Now, I don't know if any of that is an option. Brother, pack, love, son, friend." They were there, all of them, those of us that remained. Because regardless of those that were missing, we were a pack. We lived as one. We ate together as one. We trained as one. Ever since that day when Elizabeth had shifted back, things had been different. Since Tanner and Chris, since Rico and Robbie. They'd come when we were alone and made us something more again. Maybe not whole, but we were held together. There were doubts, yes, mostly mine, because of the things I couldn't let go, the anger of betrayal, the loss of my family, the fractured pieces Joe and the others had left behind. But we weren't down. Not completely. I had my pack, and my pack had me. "In a minute," I told the Omegas. "There's going to be yelling. Probably some screaming. Things are going to get confusing. Blood will be spilled. I want you to remember something for me when that happens. All I wanted to know was your name." There were 10 of them. There were 7 of us. But they didn't know that. The wolf holding Jessie took a step forward. They came then, to my side. The wolves first, teeth bared and snarling at the intruders who dared to come into our territory, who dared to try this again. Elizabeth and Mark stood to my right. Robbie came to my left. They brushed against me, coiled muscle and bristled hair. The others followed. Tanner and Rico stood next to Robbie. Both held guns loaded with silver bullets, something Gordo had made sure I'd always saved
in case of an emergency. A year ago, Rico had never even held a gun before. Now he was the better of the two. Chris came to stand between Elizabeth and Mark. He flexed his wrists, and spring-loaded knives infused with silver shot out. He'd made them himself, with materials and tools from the shop. Said he'd found the schematics online. He rocked his head back and forth, neck popping loudly in the silence.
"What is this?"
the wolf started. But that was as far as he got. Even before he'd finished the hard end to the first word, we were moving. No sound was made aside from our feet in the dirt. I didn't even think they were aware of what was happening until it was almost too late for them. Jessie saw us coming and didn't wait to be rescued. She brought her right foot up at an angle, her thigh pressing up against her stomach. Then, just as quickly, she kicked her foot down into the wolf's knee, knocking his sideways, the bones cracking wetly as they broke. I didn't even give him a chance to register the pain before I brought the crowbar up in a golf swing upside his head, knocking him back. Blood and teeth flew into the air as he landed on his back, leg out at an odd angle. The wolves snarled around us as they attacked each other, teeth and claws biting and tearing. I grabbed Jessie and dragged her away from the fight. I felt the wards rush over me as we passed through them. "You stay here," I snapped at her. "Don't come one step closer. They can't get to you here."
"Ox?"
But I didn't stay to listen to her. I turned and ran back through the wards, directly toward the wolves, snarling and growling behind me. An Omega, half-shifted, eyes crazed with rage, bellowed and headed straight for me, claws outstretched as it leapt. I slid to my knees into the dirt, sliding swiftly, even as my pants tore, rocks digging into my skin. I lay back as low as I could go as I slid toward the wolf. It flew over me, its teeth snapping near my neck, claws trailing along my skin. I brought up the tip of the crowbar and shoved it upward. The wolf's skin bubbled and smoked as the silver cut into it. Bones cracked in his ribcage as I thrust it up hard as I could, his momentum carrying him over me, splitting him from his chest down to his stomach. He landed awkwardly on his shoulder, crashing into the ground and rolling away. He didn't move when he stopped face down, blood pooling beneath him in the dirt. Behind me, gunfire erupted. I turned back toward the sound. Elizabeth had her teeth sunk into the neck of a wolf below her. The wolf was on its back, legs kicking feebly as she tore into it. Mark was bigger than any of the other wolves, almost by half. He took down two of them, even before I could move, teeth soaked with blood. These Omegas were far less coordinated than the ones that had come before. I didn't think Richard Collins had sent them. They fought against us, but they didn't fight together. They moved independently of each other. They weren't bonded. Robbie yelped as an Omega clawed his back. He twisted and snapped his teeth over his shoulder, trying to bite at the Omega's legs. I didn't wait for him to reach them. I ran full speed toward them, knocking the Omega off him. We hit the ground, the Omega scrabbling above me, teeth near my throat. Before I could throw it off, Chris was there. He punched the wolf in the back of the neck, knife shooting forward from his wrist and into the spinal cord. The wolf convulsed on top of me, legs skittering and scraping against my skin. Chris jerked his arm back, the wolf's head rising with his arm until the blade slipped free. Chris was moving again even before I pushed the dead wolf off. Tanner and Rico were moving in tandem, standing back to back, arms extended, firing into any wolf that came near them. They kept moving in a slow circle, firing in short, even bursts. When one reloaded, the other watched their back. One wolf slunk in low from the side, trying to remain undetected as it stalked toward them both. Its teeth were bared, and it crouched, ready to jump. 2 o'clock, I shouted at them. Tanner ducked immediately as Rico whirled around, arms sweeping over him, moving until the wolf fell within the gun's sight. He fired once, the bullet catching the wolf in the throat. The wolf fell back, and I knew that the bullet was breaking apart internally, the silver spreading in the bloodstream, poisoning the Omega, slowing its healing enough that it wouldn't survive. The sounds died down around us. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. Rico and Tanner lowered their guns. Chris was already running toward Jesse, who stood behind the wards, looking shell-shocked. Pain flared briefly in my arm. There was a gash near my shoulder, not deep, but long. A tooth or a claw had caught me at some point. I probably needed stitches, or it would scar. I didn't think it mattered one way or another. Scars showed what I'd been through, that I was still alive. It was bleeding sluggishly. It'd be fine. For now. Mark was standing near Robbie, growling at three Omegas who hadn't shifted during the fight. They were near the bridge, the fear evident on their faces. I didn't know if they were here by choice or if they'd been forced. Thomas had told me once that Omegas were lost, mostly, on their way to being feral. Marie certainly had been. I didn't know if they'd be able to find their way back or not. Elizabeth was standing over the wolf that had been doing the talking. He was conscious, still, body burning from the silver. I knew he'd heal, eventually, if I let him. There were six dead wolves lying on the ground. The gunfire would be noticed soon. We didn't have much time. "Rico," I said. "On it," he said. He pulled out his phone and dialed 911 as he started to walk away. "Yes, hello? I think I hear gunfire. Has anyone called that in? It sounds like it's coming from out near the south end of town, so hunters? Maybe in the woods?" Which was in the opposite direction. I walked over to Elizabeth. She was growling low in her throat, a consistent rumble as the wolf below her bled and choked. I ran my hand down her back as I knelt beside her. She pressed into the touch, but didn't look away. "Gah," the wolf said, a bubble of blood bursting from his mouth. A thin red mist dotted his cheeks and forehead. "Gah." "You should have told me your name," I said quietly. "But that wasn't your first mistake. I wouldn't even say coming here was your first mistake. Do you know what it was?" "Gah, gah, gah," I said. "Your first mistake was underestimating me. My pack. I may be human, but I run with wolves." I stood and moved toward the other Omegas. Mark and Robbie had herded them up against the wall of the bridge. They cowered as I approached. Mark and Robbie parted briefly to allow me to step between them. They crowded my sides immediately, pressing their warmth against me. "You didn't shift," I said to the Omegas. "Why?" There was fear in their eyes as they watched me. None of them spoke. I took another step toward them. They whimpered. And then they bared their throats at me. I stopped. Because that shouldn't have happened. That was only for... I wasn't. I couldn't be. Something in my scent or the beat of my racing heart must have given me away. Because Mark was there. Robbie was there. Elizabeth was there. All three touching me. Running their noses on my legs and arms. Rico and Tanner and Chris were there too. Somewhere. I could feel them in my mind. Bright and loud. Robbie's thread was stronger than it had ever been before, and it pulsed with friend and home and pack, pack, pack. I could barely breathe. "You will take them from here," I managed to say. "Your wolves. You do not leave a single trace. You will go back to where you came from. If you see Richard Collins, you will tell him what happened here today. And if I ever see your faces again, I will not let you walk away." They were moving then. The Omegas rushed toward the dirt roadway, gathering up dead wolves. The wolf that had been the only one to speak was slowly pulling himself to his feet. His jaw was obviously broken and stuck out at a sharp angle. He was bleeding profusely from the mouth. He took a staggering step toward us. His eyes were filled with hate as he glared at me. I said nothing as he stumbled by, following the other Omegas across the bridge. I could hear sirens in the distance, far away, and getting fainter. They weren't coming toward us. At least not yet. I stared into the shadows on the bridge for a very long time. Movement occurred around me. Rico and Tanner picking up shell casings, Chris kicking up the dirt and covering the blood that had been spilled, Jesse muttering, demanding answers, wondering who those people were, what the hell had happened. Were those wolves? Oh my God, Chris, what is all of this? Robbie and Mark were somewhere off to my left, sniffing along the ground. I knew they were tracking scents, to make sure no other Omegas or anything else lay in secret, waiting until our backs were turned. It was Elizabeth who approached me. She moved around me until she was in front of me. She sat down, head high, regal and proud. She waited until I could no longer ignore her gaze. I looked at her. She flashed her eyes at me. There was a pull in me at the sight, one much stronger than I'd ever felt before. "I can't be," I told her. She didn't move. "You know I can't be. I'm not a wolf." I didn't know who I was trying to convince. There was a brush along her thread. It said, "Silly boy," and "It doesn't matter," and "Pack. It's what is right for Pack," and one other word I didn't want to hear. One other word that shouldn't be possible. One other word that felt like I was betraying Joe. "I don't want it." She huffed and looked stern. "I mean it. I can't. I can't." Then another thought struck me and caused goosebumps to prickle along my arms. "Did you know?" She cocked her head at me. It wasn't an answer. "Did he know?" I demanded. "Not Joe." But she knew who I meant. I could feel the gentle wave of sadness run through her. "Answer me." Because the thought that they had known since the beginning, since that very first day when they'd stood on the porch of the house at the end of the lane, was all I could think about. It wasn't true. It couldn't be true. But what if? What if all of this had been to get to this moment? This fucking realization? Did anyone have a choice in this? Did Joe? Did I? Mark came over then, sitting next to her. He pressed his nose against her ear before looking back at me with an identical expression on his face. Robbie came too, but he was moving slower, as if unsure of himself. His shoulders were lowered, his ears pressed to his skull. His tail was curled between his legs. He looked spooked, as if he thought he'd be rejected if he moved any quicker. He kept his eyes averted as he sat next to Elizabeth. "What the fuck is going on?" I heard Jesse ask from behind me. "They're recognizing him," Chris said quietly, and it was another blow to whatever wall I'd hastily constructed in the face of this damning recognition. If they felt it, then...
"As what?"
"Why?" I asked as a last resort. My voice cracked, and I could do nothing to stop it. "I am not anything. I am not anyone. You shouldn't be doing this. This isn't what was supposed to happen. It's supposed to be him. He's going to come back, okay? He's going to come back, and you need to..." There was a telltale sign of a shift, the creak and groan of bone and muscle. The wolf took human shape, but her eyes remained the same. She said,
"Ox. So this is a thing," Jesse said faintly. "Mrs. Bennett is naked, and this is a thing."
We ignored her. I waited for Elizabeth to speak again, because I had nothing left to say. I didn't have to wait long. She said,
"Sometimes it's not about being able to shift. Some of us are already born with a wolf in our heart. The color of your eyes doesn't matter. The fact that you are human does not matter. What matters is that you have taken your place like you were meant to do.
I didn't ask for this, I told her, desperately so.
I know, she said softly. But you are what we need.
My father.
Her eyes hardened.
Your father didn't understand the value of who you were, of who your mother was. I've seen you in his shadow. I know the words he spoke to you. But you don't belong to him. The moment my son found you on the road, you belonged to us.
Did you know? Even then? Did Thomas know? Is that why you did all of this? Is that why Joe
gave me his wolf? But I couldn't get the words out, because the thought of Joe being forced into something that he didn't have a choice over, that he didn't even want, made me cold. She knew, though. She always did.
No, she said quietly. We knew you were a remarkable young man, Ox, kind and caring. We knew that from the very start, and that you'd make a wonderful addition to our pack. But the rest? This? Ox, this is something we never thought would happen. You can plan for life, but life always has plans of its own. If Thomas hadn't died, if your mother hadn't died, if Richard Collins hadn't escaped, or even focused on our family to begin with. If, Ox, it's always about the if.
Her eyes flared orange, and I felt the pull like I'd never felt before.
But it's not if now. Now, it's something else.
Mark tipped his head back, baring his throat. Robbie did the same, tail thumping nervously. Elizabeth tilted her head to the side, the long column of skin muted in the starlight. She said it then, the one word. And I hoped that Joe could forgive me, because as much as I wanted to fight this, I didn't think I had the strength. Not anymore.
Alpha.
Chapter 25. The Third Year. Mystical Moon Connection. It was in the third year that Robbie moved into the main house, shortly after being recognized as part of the Bennett pack. His superiors didn't seem surprised. A gruff man came to the house, wearing a wrinkled suit and a skinny tie. His eyes widened briefly when I entered the room, able to sense something about me I still didn't quite understand. He was blunt and to the point. There had been no sign of Richard Collins, no tangible proof of him for well over a year. The teams that had been searching for him since he'd fled Green Creek were coming back with nothing. There weren't even rumors of him anymore. The same was said of Joe and the others. We hadn't heard anything from them, though Elizabeth kept insisting that they were alive, that she would know if something happened to them, to her sons. I didn't have the heart to disagree with her, though I lay awake at night, imagining 100 different things that could have happened to them. That they'd found Richard, and he'd killed them, becoming an alpha. That even though they were alive, they were never coming back. That I'd never see Carter again, or Kelly, or Gordo. And Joe, of course. Because he was on my mind more than the others. The gruff man told us that they'd continue the search, but it seemed half-hearted. They spoke as if Michelle Hughes was going to be long-term, to finally have someone permanent take Thomas's place as the head alpha. "We'll give it time," he said, sipping black coffee. "But we can't wait forever." He asked to speak to me privately. I glanced at Elizabeth, who nodded before agreeing. She pointed toward Thomas's old office, and I hesitated only briefly. The others left the house. Tanner, Rico, and Chris were at the shop. The gruff man waited until he was sure they were out of earshot before closing the door to the office. I sat behind the desk, more intimidated than I expected to be. I tried to push it down, but I think he knew. Then, "She's curious about you." I didn't expect that.
Who?
Alpha Hughes.
Why?
He snorted.
Because you're human, and somehow you've become an alpha. Of the Bennett Pack, no less.
Joe's the alpha of the Bennett Pack, I said. I was just temporary. I'd accepted it more than I had before, but it was still a work in progress, one that I hoped would be over very, very soon.
Joe's not here.
He will be. And I wondered if the gruff man heard the traitorous thump of my heart.
How did you do it?
He asked.
She'll want to know. Not because you've done anything wrong, or because she'll want to take anything away from you.
I narrowed my eyes.
Why go there first?
He shrugged.
Because you did. And I don't blame you. Neither does she. This pack has been put through a lot, which is an understatement. You don't hand out trust easily.
You, meaning the pack. He spoke to me as if we were one, out of respect.
There aren't many people to trust. Alpha Hughes is someone I've never met, I said sharply, so I can't be expected to trust her.
That hasn't stopped her from wondering about you.
Keeping tabs.
Robbie, he said.
Robbie, I agreed. Would you believe me if I told you that his updates have gotten exceedingly vague as time has gone by?
I would, because they had. I nodded slowly, wondering if I was going to have to fight this gruff man for one of my pack. Because Robbie wasn't his. He didn't belong to Alpha Hughes. He belonged to me, here, with the pack.
She understands.
Does she? I asked.
Probably more than you know. I can't say you don't have the instincts we do, because I don't know what you are. But a wolf knows when he fits, when he finds a home. There's a pull, in his head and chest. It starts off small at first, but it grows, if allowed, and you've allowed it.
You can't take him back, I said bluntly. I won't let you. He eyed me for a moment. Then,
I wouldn't ask that of him, or you. He's mine now.
And something primal in me took great joy from the thought.
We know. It's not exactly ideal, but better than Osmond.
The gruff man flinched at that.
Fair.
Fair? I think that might be an understatement.
Osmond was unforeseen. Osmond was a mistake. I think even Thomas knew that, before it happened. No one could have seen that coming.
Maybe you weren't looking hard enough. Do you even know how it happened? When? Was he turned? Or did he always belong to Richard Collins? The gruff man rubbed a hand over his face.
Those are questions we hope to ask him if he's found.
When he's found.
For someone who doesn't trust what I'm saying, you're putting an awful lot of faith in our teams.
I'm not talking about your teams, I said coolly.
He'll work for us, Robbie will, the gruff man said. We ask that you keep us informed of any changes.
Changes?
To your pack. Normally, when a pack adds members, there's a vetting process, to avoid any chance of letting someone in who has other interests at heart.
I blinked.
Was I vetted? Partly. Mostly it was the word of Thomas. People usually didn't say no to him, even after he stepped down. He was persuasive.
That didn't sit right.
You want control. We want to be safe, he countered. There aren't as many of us as there used to be. Things change. Attitudes change. If things keep going as they were, there'd be mostly bitten and not born. When a species is dying, everything must be done to preserve those that remain. This isn't about control. It's about survival. Richard Collins doesn't give two shits about that.
Richard Collins is a psychopath.
Fine, I said. Robbie can still report to you. But if you push him for things he shouldn't be discussing, if you attempt to go behind my back, threats aren't necessary, the gruff man assured me. Though I would be lying if I said you're not going to get shit about this.
I froze. But it was a small thing. The gruff man caught it, though. He arched an eyebrow at me. I cleared my throat.
How?
Others aren't going to take kindly to a human alpha. There is barely tolerance for bitten alphas, but you, you're human. Some will see it as a slap in the face. Others will think you're lying. Do you?
He shook his head slowly.
Maybe before I got here. Maybe I'd heard the stories about you before, the human in the wolf pack, and maybe I didn't necessarily believe everything I'd heard. Thomas always said how revered they should be, even after humans had tried to exterminate us. And yet, he hid you from us. Not you specifically, no. We knew about you. But the fact that you were going to be mated to the future Alpha, he kept that from us. No one knew until Osman came. We were concerned.
Concerned enough to send a traitor and a handful of betas without knowing who their loyalties were with?
We didn't know he was...
No, I said. I get that. But it doesn't seem like any of you know much about anything.
Be that as it may, the gruff man said. There will be pushback on this. On you. I'm convinced, because I'm here, in your territory. I can feel the way you've bonded with it, with your pack. But others won't see that.
That's not my problem. I'm not looking for tolerance. I just want everyone to leave my pack alone.
You should have chosen a different pack then, he said dryly. Being a Bennett almost ensures you won't be left alone. If this goes on much longer, you'll need to register. All alphas must register with the head alpha. It helps us keep track of the wolf population, to make sure alphas aren't building packs without our guidance.
If what goes on?
You. This. If Joe doesn't return.
I can't make new wolves, I reminded him. I'm still human.
He watched me for a long time. It was unnerving how little he needed to blink.
That doesn't mean you won't draw them to you. You don't need to bite them to make them yours. Robbie, the other humans, you can grow without ever having to be a wolf yourself.
You sound like I'm someone to be feared.
We don't know what you are, the gruff man said, and there is always fear in the unknown.
He will.
What?
Joe, he'll come back.
You have faith in him.
He sounded surprised. And so I said,
always.
It was enough of the truth that the gruff man didn't catch it, because I did have faith in Joe. But I thought maybe it was waning as the days went on.
Robbie waited nervously as the gruff man left, standing just beyond earshot. As soon as the car disappeared down the dirt road, he practically ran to my side. I could hear the others in the forest, the yips of Mark and Elizabeth, the laughter and shouts of Tanner and Chris and Rico.
Well? He demanded, wringing his hands, eyes darting to mine and then away.
Well? I teased.
Ox! I rolled my eyes.
You can stay. You'll still work for Alpha Hughes, but you can...
She's not my alpha, he interrupted in a rush, eyes wide. She isn't. She can't be my alpha. Not like... Okay, she just can't.
Why? I asked, curious. I know you weren't really a part of her pack, or any pack, really, but you work for her. Why wouldn't you be part of hers?
It never fit, he said.
I never fit.
Not with them. Even when other packs took me in after my mom died, it never felt right. They kept me safe. They kept me fed and clothed. They helped me through my grief, but I just couldn't. They asked me to stay, and I couldn't. So when I came of age, I floated. I bounced around. And then Alpha Hughes asked me to do a job, and when she asks, you just do it. No questions asked. And I came here, and I did my job, and it was fine. Ox, it was good. And even though you didn't trust me for a long time, none of you did, I still felt more myself here than I'd felt since... I don't even know.
By the time he was finished,
His cheeks were flushed, and his eyes were wide and flickering orange. He sounded breathless, like he was afraid I was going to reject him where he stood.
"Robbie," I said, oddly touched. "You're going."
"Because you're my alpha," he blurted out. "You're the only one I want to be my alpha. Not anyone else. My wolf, just... you're it, okay?"
So I said, "Okay, Robbie. Hey, it's okay. You're staying. With us. With me."
He gaped at me. "Are you serious?"
I nodded.
The smile on his face was wide and blinding, and even though I still felt a bit like a child playing dress-up, there was a pride there I didn't know what to do with, even as I knew I didn't want to let it go. She stayed away for a while, Jessie did. Not that I could blame her. I was only 16 when I'd found out the truth, still young and naive enough to believe in impossible things. She wasn't 16. She was in her 20s, which meant she was cynical. But I didn't blame her. I couldn't. She'd witnessed something most people wouldn't have known what to do with, wouldn't have known how to process. She'd been taken and beaten, held hostage in a fight she had nothing to do with. She'd been coming home from a night out with friends two towns over. They'd gone out to a late dinner, had a couple of drinks, but nothing where she couldn't drive after. She'd been coming back when she'd seen another car stopped on the side of the road, a woman standing in the dark by herself next to it, the emergency flashers blinking yellow. She'd stopped, because it had been the right thing to do. The woman was alone, and even though Green Creek was safe, Jessie said she wouldn't have been able to forgive herself if she hadn't stopped, and later heard that it hadn't been safe. The woman had smiled at her. She'd said her car had broken down, and to top it all off, her cell phone was dead. Could Jessie just believe her luck? It happened swiftly. One moment she'd been walking toward the woman, and the next she'd been surrounded by people whose eyes glowed violet. They'd hit her. They'd made her bleed. They hadn't touched her. Not that way. But her personal sense of self had still been violated. She'd distanced herself from Chris. I'd rarely seen her as it was, but I knew she and Chris were close. The anger he'd felt after that night at the Omegas was stronger than I'd ever seen in him before. He threw himself into the training that followed, working until his muscles quivered and he dripped with sweat. I told him to stop, to take a break, to walk away if needed to ignore the pack and focus on Jessie, if that's what he thought was right. He'd looked at me, stricken.
"Are you telling me to leave?"
he'd asked, voice small. I hadn't known the extent of my reach over them, over the pack. I didn't understand, not really, up until that moment. Because if I'd told him to leave, he would have. He would have left us and cared for his sister and stayed away from the pack because I'd told him to do so. And it would have hurt him and me in the process. It was selfish. I should have told him to leave. I didn't. I said,
"No, no, I don't want you to leave."
He had relaxed and let out a long, slow breath. She did come back, though, during the summer. The bell over the front door of the shop rang out. I ignored it, focusing instead on the radiator fan I was trying to install. Robbie was at the front desk. For everyone's sake, we'd agreed it'd be safer if he was kept away from any and all tools, as he had a tendency to hurt himself and others if he came within a few feet of anything sharp. He answered the phones now, dealt with customers, scheduled the appointments. People who came to the shop loved him, and he loved talking to them. It made life easier for all of us. Until that day when I heard shrill, raised voices.
"I don't care what the fuck you are, you will let me back there because I have something I need to say to them. Look, lady, it's Jessie, you asshole. Jessie, you can't just... Oh, for fuck's sake, get the fuck out of my way."
Chris sighed from the next auto bay over. This isn't going to go well. Knowing her, it's been building up all this time.
"Better you than me," Tanner snorted.
"Actually, she's probably going to scream at Alpha over here," Rico said. What did I do? I said with a groan.
Jefe, what didn't you do?
Son of a bitch, I muttered, setting the fan down. Then, in the same low voice, Robbie, just let her back here.
Robbie cut off mid-retort at the front of the office. I heard the door that led from the front reception to the shop slam open.
Ox, Jesse bellowed.
This is going to be loud, Chris said.
Should we leave?
Tanner asked.
Nah, Rico said. I want to watch what happens.
As your alpha, I command you to save me, I told them. They just stared at me. Useless fucking pack. Jesse was on a warpath, hair pulled back in a severe ponytail, face flushed, eyes bright. Robbie trailed warily after her, tense, like he didn't know if he should attack her if she got too close. I shook my head once at him, and he scowled over her shoulder at me, before he went to stand with the others. Jesse stopped right in front of me, mouth in a thin line. She still had that little freckle that I used to kiss. I don't know why I focused on that.
She said, You're a fucking sack of shit.
I sighed.
She said, You knew about this? This whole time?
Jesse, I said evenly. Hi. Welcome to Gordo's. She stared at me. She was pissed. I didn't blame her. Not really. I was an alpha, but she could be scary. So I said, Chris has known about this for a while now, too.
Hey, Chris yelped. Why are you throwing me under the bus?
Jesse narrowed her eyes.
Oh, don't you worry, she said. He's going to get his. I can promise you that.
You suck, Ox, Chris muttered. Worst alpha ever. Robbie growled at him.
But you, she said, poking me hard in the chest. This is all your fault.
How is this my fault? I asked, somewhat offended.
Werewolves, she shouted at me.
Yes, I said. It's also been 6 months since you found out about them. Why are you doing this now?
She blinked at me. I needed time to process.
Okay, I said. And now you've processed.
Werewolves, she repeated.
Werewolves, I agreed.
You knew. This whole time.
Not the whole time.
Yeah, Rico said. It was only almost the whole time.
Jesse poked me in the chest again as I glared at Rico. He just winked at me.
Are you one of them? She demanded.
No, I said slowly.
So you're human?
No, I said even slower.
What the hell does that mean?
It means that I'm not quite...
Are you going to bite me? She asked.
You didn't mind it when we used to...
Not the time, Ox.
Right, I said hastily. I'm still not very good at jokes, or figuring out when is the best time to tell them.
You can't bite me.
I'm not going to. I'm not aware...
You're something.
I was getting a headache. Not something that can change you.
You changed my brother. He told me. He told me he can feel you, that he's part of you and your pack.
She spat that last word like it was curse. And yeah, she had me there. Shit. She poked me a third time.
You will tell me everything.
Right now? I asked, trying not to.